KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have mostly cloudy skies. It's 59 degrees. We look for isolated showers and thunderstorms today, a high of 82. Currently, radar shows showers and thunderstorms entering northwest Iowa, basically from just north of Ottawa on up to past Sioux City and into northeastern Nebraska and parts of southeastern South Dakota. Those storms are moving to the northeast. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Well, the amount of water to be released into the lower Missouri River will change in the coming days to accommodate recent heavy rains in the upper plains. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said in a news release Friday that water releases from Gabbins Point Dam on the Nebraska-South Dakota border will be reduced to 65,000 feet per cubic second today and down to 60,000 cubic feet per second on Sunday. Corps says that reduction will last no longer than 3 days before releases are incrementally increased by 5,000 cubic feet per second per a day, going up to 80,000 feet per second. The Corps says it hopes that briefly lowering releases may curtail possible flooding on the Missouri River between Sioux City, Iowa, and Omaha. Officials, though, are preparing for a third round of Missouri River flooding in western Pottawatomie County. Current river forecasts call for a nearly 4.5-foot rise in the river over the next week. At those levels, many of the areas that have recently seen some relief could once again find themselves inundated with floodwaters. There's also a very real potential that Interstates 680 and 29 could once again be impacted by encroaching waters. In a statement released late Friday evening, Doug Reed, Emergency Management Director for Pottawatomie County, said, "The time to prepare is now. Residents in the area that still have ponding water, recently receded water, damaged levees, or drainage ditch damages should take proactive measures to protect their property and themselves." Reed said, "With the heavy rains expected north of us, there's no doubt we will see a significant rise on the river." He also commented that the Corps of Engineers announced reductions for Gabbins Point over the weekend in an attempt to reduce the overall crest to try and keep the interstate system open, as I just mentioned. Officials urge residents and travelers to remain aware of conditions over the next week, especially in the northwest portion of Pottawatomie County. If your house flooded previously, then you should assume that it may do so once again. There are many variables that make predicting the flood extent of this event very difficult, Reed says, when you consider that some temporary repairs have been made to levees and drainage ditches, and some have not, fluctuating flows from the dam system and any future rainfalls in the basin. Residents should pay close attention to local media outlets, the National Weather Service, the Emergency Management 2019 flood website, and Pott County Emergency Management social media platforms to stay aware of updated conditions. Reed said, "We urge residents to use the information we provide to make the best decision for their safety and protection of their property." Those living in the northwest portion of Pottawatomie County should remain on high alert over the next week and be prepared to leave their homes should it become necessary. If the river forecast is accurate, Reed says, "We can expect to lose access to some of our roads, which means residents may not be able to leave the area when needed, and emergency services will have difficulty and delays getting to them." The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reports a man from Missouri was arrested Thursday night on numerous charges following an incident in Tabor. 25-year-old Brandon Yost of Tarkio, Missouri, faces charges that include possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, violation of a protection order, false imprisonment, domestic abuse with intent to inflict serious injury, and criminal mischief. Yost was being held on $6,000 bond after his initial appearance with the magistrate. He was also arrested on a valid Fremont County warrant for possession of marijuana, possession of methamphetamine, and possession of drug paraphernalia, and on a valid Page County warrant for domestic abuse assault. His bond on those charges was set at $2,100. Authorities say that around 8:17 p.m. Thursday, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office took several reports of a female in a vehicle yelling that someone was trying to kill her in Tabor. Callers followed the vehicle on the 2800 block of Waubonsie Avenue in rural Tabor. During the altercation, the male, identified as Brandon Yost, exited the vehicle, climbed onto the hood, and began breaking the windshield. Upon law enforcement's arrival, Yost fled a short distance but was quickly apprehended. He was also arrested after a search warrant involving a Fremont County canine was conducted on a vehicle belonging to Yost and not connected with the other cases. He was arrested in that matter at the Fremont County Jail and was being held on $1,000 cash bond in that case for possession of marijuana. Yost is awaiting his initial appearance with the magistrate in that case. He was also out of jail on bond in connection to a previous burglary arrest in Page County. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office and Tabor Police investigated separate incidents in this case. They were assisted by the Mills County Sheriff's Office and Tabor Rescue. The Atlantic Police Department reports numerous arrests took place from August 26th through September 12th. Most recently, 42-year-old James Almadares of Winnetka, California, was arrested September 12th for burglary in the third degree and theft in the second. On September 7th, 18-year-old Rachel Stanley of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for theft in the fifth, and 47-year-old Amy Rollins of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for failure to appear. On September 1st, 20-year-old Froylan Amaya of Atlantic was arrested for violation of a no-contact order. Amaya was arrested again the next day for possession of controlled substance marijuana. On August 31st, 32-year-old Justin Donaldson of Council Bluffs was arrested in Atlantic for driving while license denied or revoked. On August 29th, 70-year-old Stephen Tasto of Missouri Valley was arrested for second-degree theft, and 31-year-old Justin Cooley of Atlantic was arrested for theft in the third degree. Authorities say while he was in custody, Cooley was additionally charged with two counts of burglary in the third, three counts of criminal mischief in the fifth, and theft in the third degrees. And on August 26th, 28-year-old Mario Lopez of Atlantic was arrested for criminal mischief in the fifth degree. Each of those individuals were booked into the Cass County Jail. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Albert James Carlson, age 75, of Kirkman, died September 6th. Services for Albert Carlson will be held today at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Larry Kilcoyne, age 81, of Adair, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Larry Kilcoyne will be today at 10:30 at the Methodist Church in Adair. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Franklin Moore, age 90, of Manning, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Franklin Moore will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Esther Lowenstein, age 93, of Walnut, died Sunday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Esther Lowenstein will be this afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Teresa K. Jackson, age 61, who's formerly of Atlantic, died September 7th at the Griswold Care Center. A celebration of life reception for Teresa Jackson will be held at the East of Omaha Music Venue in Griswold today from 1 until 3 p.m. Recon Dune Funeral Home of Griswold is assisting the family. Dorothy Ann Carroll, age 88, of Harlan, died Wednesday at Avoca Specialty Care. A celebration of life for Dorothy Ann Carroll will be today at 1:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Charles Harris, Jr., age 93, of Greenfield, died September 5th at Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. Celebration of life services for Charles Harris, Jr. will be on Sunday at 1:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Elaine Barman, age 37, of Harlan, died September 9th. Funeral services for Elaine Barman will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Willard Christian Church in Willard, Ohio. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Francis Betcher, age 81, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Memorial services for Francis Betcher will be on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Ronald Wilkinson, age 73, of Red Oak, died Thursday at the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Ronald Wilkinson will be Monday at 2 o'clock at the Nelson Boylan Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak. Marlis Beeler, age 76, of Stewart, died Thursday at the Taylor Hospice House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Marlis Beeler will be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Robert Rell, age 84, of Guthrie Center, died Friday in Panora. A funeral mass for Robert Rell will be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Lois Darrington, age 91, of Griswold, died Wednesday at her home. A public memorial service for Lois Darrington will be held at a later date. The Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold is assisting the family. And Loretta Grasty, age 86, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Loretta Grasty are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.